worship you, looking into your word. And Lord, that we may be prepared to hear your message this morning. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
I'd like to give you a little background. You know, time passes as a pastor, much like everyone else, except for one thing. You have a lot of people that you're concerned about. You have a lot of people that you pray for.
It's going to be one of those.
But sometimes as you pray for those people, it's almost like falling on deaf ears. You become more and more aware of the false fronts. I've shared it before, not quite like this, but it seems like sometimes there's no effect. So I ask the question, what am I doing? Why do I keep doing this? And then someone out of the darkness comes along and says, wow, that was so amazing. Not me, but that God got a hold of their heart and has changed them. I almost fell over one time when somebody came up and said, one of the messages you shared at a funeral made me enter into the ministry. And I couldn't believe that. It was crazy. I don't expect, you know, the accolades. I don't expect the stuff falling out of the sky, balloons and confetti and everything else. I don't expect that. I do want to see people change for the Lord. And I don't want to overreact. Hopefully I'm not doing that. But we really need to pay attention to what God has in His Word. He tells us to follow Him, to stay true to Him. But some of us, we're just playing the game. And we come to church because it looks good. We say the right words. Some people call it Christianese. And we say the right words because, well, it makes it look good too. But I want to remind us that we aren't really playing a game. We're in a battle. And it's for keeps. There's no do-overs. I did a funeral three years ago, for a man who spent most of his life in prison. And he was trying to do his best. And while in prison, he was taking classes and he was doing all kinds of things to better himself. And his young son, who was about 10, maybe 11 years old, went up to the casket and he says, I want a do-over. You know, I had to share that there's no do-overs. When death comes knocking, it's done. There's a scripture in Matthew. You don't have to turn there. It's going to be up on the screen, Matthew 7, verses 13 through 14. It says, enter through the narrow gate, For wide is the gate, and broad is the road that leads to destruction. And many, that's what scares me, many will enter through it. But small is the gate, and narrow is the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. I have a picture accompanying that. And as you can see, you know, it's 75 miles an hour. It's all the way, pedal to the metal. Let's go. And it leads to destruction. And there's that little narrow road that comes, and it kind of has to go across the road of the cross. But behind that is glory. Another scripture in Matthew 7, 13 through 14, it says, that's going to be up on the screen as well. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and in your name drive out demons and perform many miracles? And then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. I get scared at that one. Because I don't want to be one of those people. I hope you don't either. That we're playing the game. And these individuals were playing it so good that they prophesied in Jesus' name. They drove out demons and they even performed miracles. And I think to myself, how is it possible if they're not Christians, if they aren't believers? You know why? I fretted over that and I wondered what it was all about. And it's here. The power is in the Word of God. And when you use that Word, when you use that power, it is power from God. And you may not believe it, but when you speak it, and when you speak it, it is power. And so I came to a scripture that I want us all to turn to. Galatians chapter 6, it's 1774 in your pew Bibles. Galatians chapter 6. Starting in verse 7. Galatians 6, 1774 in a few Bibles, verse 7 says, do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. The one who sows to please his sinful nature from that nature will reap destruction. The one who sows to please the Spirit from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. You know, as I read this and as I'm sharing it with you, you know, God isn't fooled. You know, we can go around and I can go around and anybody can go around. I can dress in a nice suit. I can put on the face. I can speak the right words. I can come to church every Sunday. I can put my tithes in the plate. I can go and support the spaghetti supper or dinner and the kids going on the mission trips and everything else. I can even go along. And God looks straight to the heart. He looks straight at who we really are. You can't fool him. And it says here, a man reaps what he sows. Now, it may not be what you sow in daylight. It might be what you sow at night, in the corner, in the home, when you're alone, in the back bedroom. Whatever and wherever it is, you're sowing. Whatever you're sowing, you're going to reap from that what you sow. And if you sow to please the sinful nature, And let me tell you, there is a lot to that. Sometimes we don't even realize that we're sowing those things. Sometimes we just think, you know, hey, it's my freedom. It's my right. You know, I got one thing to say about that. You don't have any rights in Christ. Did you know that? When you accept Jesus as your Savior, it's all about Him and His will. You don't have any more rights. You see, the Scripture talks about being a slave to Him. Yeah, we're children. You know, we're adopted as children. But it says that we're slaves to Him. We serve Him. And if we're serving Him, we're doing what He wants us to do. But if we're not, we're sowing things that are only going to reap us heartache and problems. God's not trying to beat us down with this. I want you to understand, He's not saying, oh, I'm going to just pound you if you don't do this. God's not doing that. He's telling us reality. He's telling us the spiritual reality, how the spiritual realm works. And this is how it works. From the creation of the world, you know, God created the heavens and the earth, so He should know. And He knows that there's a battle going on between good and evil, between Satan and God. He knows that battle's going on. What does Satan want? All he wants is to destroy families, is to destroy lives, is to hurt God. You know the best way to hurt somebody? Hurt their children. Do you know that? I mean, I'll tell you what, if somebody was hurting my child, all bets are off with my Christian faith. I'm sorry. I would hate it. I would want to destroy that person. And you know, it says in Scripture that woe to the person who hurts or leads one of my little ones astray. You know that? It says that. It says, better for him that a millstone gets tied around his neck and he gets thrown in the deepest ocean. That's how God hates when someone hurts His children. But you know, we kind of forget all that. And we come to church and we say the things and maybe even pray the prayer. And yet, we dabble in evil. We dabble in idols, spiritualistic things like horoscopes, palm readings, psychic spells and psychic whatever, you know, talking to the dead, crystals, incantations. We look for things to guide us that are contrary to God and His Spirit. You know you're not going to reap God's will when you dabble in those things. Because Scripture is very clear about that. Do not do it. Why? Why does God want to take away all my fun? He's not. He's not taking away. Satan has us fooled into believing, well, that's fun. And you know what? Sometimes it is a little bit fun. But behind it is destruction and devastation. It's like biting. You ever bite into an apple and it's rotten? It looks so good on the outside. They wax them and they polish them and get them all nice and looking good. And then you bite into it and it's rotten. I had one time, Jonathan, it was so funny, we went to a trip and we stopped at a hotel. There was a Dunkin' Donuts next door, and you know, advertisement for Dunkin' Donuts. But we go down there and we say, yeah, donuts. And Jonathan saw a thing of milk in the refrigerator and he says, yeah, I want some milk with my donut. All right, cool. We get back to the hotel room. He eats a little bit of donut, takes a big swig of the milk and he spits it out right away. It was spoiled milk. Coagulated milk. Yeah, I want you to get the feel. I want you to really feel it. Nasty. Horrible. But you know, it looked so good. I mean, he looked at that milk and he said, oh, I could just use a nice cold cup of milk. I've done similar things, you know, just looking at things and go, oh, yeah, that looks so good. And that's what Satan does. He paints things up so nice. He makes things look so good. It's what he did with the fruit in the garden. Now look at this, Eve. It looks so good. Now look and smell the flowers on the tree. You know, just touch the fruit. Oh, so nice. But behind it was destruction, because sin entered the world from that moment on. And from that moment on, we're so deceived. But God's not deceived. He won't be mocked. He knows the truth. There is the last days. You know, this world is increasing in evil at a rate that I've never seen before. We all see it. You know, we see people so violent now, doing things that they just would never have done before. We see the government caught up in scandal after scandal. People that we used to trust. Even a judge, I read an article the other day, and this one judge is caught with, I don't know, with like 20 counts of money laundering and taking bribes and doing, you know, and we look at these judges and we say, I trusted you. We lose all faith in those who lead us. But I want to tell you, there's one who will never be shifting shadows, and that's God. God will never change from one moment to the next. That's why we have His Word. This is what it says. And He's not trying to beat us down with it. He's informing us. He's telling us, don't mix up evil and good. It's not going to go well for you. And we can say, oh, you know, I worship God out in the woods, or I believe in God. But you know, the Scripture is very plain about that. Faith without works is dead. Now, I'm not saying that it's a work salvation, that you have to work your way to heaven. No. When you believe in Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're saved. But if you really are saved, you're going to have some works to follow that. If I tell you that I'm a pastor, you expect me to be able to preach. If I got up behind the pulpit and I said, you know, I've never done this before. I don't know what I'm going to do. Where do I start? Let's see. Where's Galatians? If I started doing that, you're kind of going to go, wow, I'm not going back there. If you're a Christian, you're going to act like one. I shouldn't be going to eat at a restaurant that has a bar next door and see you there. Does it mean, oh, I can have one drink? Oh, yeah, I've heard that so many times. Sitting in that bar is the representation of something that you're doing. Is that glorifying God? I don't think so. The only way I can see you sitting in that bar is if you're standing on a soapbox and preaching the gospel. Are you going to do that? Probably not. You know, the thing is that we represent Jesus Christ. We're His children. We're His ambassadors. We represent Him. And when you go places like that, what are you saying? When you cuss up a storm and then you walk in church and all of a sudden language is clean. What does that say? We either are or we aren't. And that's what God is telling us. He's saying, look, I'm not fooled by you. You either are or you're not. And I want to tell you that it's not going to go well for you. Because you will reap destruction if you're sowing to the sinful nature. You will reap eternal life if you're sowing to the Spirit. Verse 9, for me, let us not become weary in doing good. 28 years preaching. 28 years praying. I can't give up. I got to keep going. Last verse as we close here. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 is up on the screen. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in the view of God's mercy, offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. This is what we need to do. No more playing games. No more dabbling. You're either all in or you're all out. Let's have a word of prayer before we close this time. Father, I pray that there's people here that are wondering, they're thinking, what is my life all about? What have I been doing? What kind of seeds have I been sowing? Lord, I pray that Your Spirit is moving on their hearts right now. And Lord, if there is someone here that wants to accept You, that wants You in their heart, that wants to stop sowing to the sinful nature, they want to start sowing for You, to gain eternal life. You're not trying to beat them up about it. You're just telling them that's the way life is. That's the way the spiritual life is. And you're either going to sow for you, or we're going to sow for our own sinful natures. And that's the choices. Lord, I pray that if there's someone here that wants to pray to accept You, they would pray this. Lord Jesus, forgive me for the life that I've been living. Come to me. Fill me with Your Spirit. Lord, thank You for freeing me, for giving me eternal life through Your Son, Jesus Christ. I believe in You. Lord, I thank You again for today. I ask that You would clothe us with Your blessings now as we sing this last song. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.